Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, October the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're looking forward to many congregations celebrating the Reformation this coming Sunday. I'll be preaching this Sunday on the Reformation, and then Wednesday, a circuit which is headquartered in Beardstown, Illinois, has asked me to do the Reformation service for a number of congregations. That'll take place 7 o'clock in Beardstown, Illinois, next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, the following Wednesday, on the night of the Reformation. Tomorrow, we're going to be taking a look at a hymn, but we're not going to be taking a look at A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. There is a second hymn that's selected for Reformation, and we're going to be looking at that with Pastor Mark Smith. But I didn't want to skip A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and it just so happens that one of the readings for this coming Sunday is Psalm 46. Why is that important? That is the psalm on which Martin Luther based his hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 46 today in preparation for the Reformation. And we'll take a look at other readings possibly during the week. We'll see what things are going to be coming up there. Mighty Fortress Is Our God is the name of the hymn. The problem is, nowhere in Psalm 46 do you hear the word fortress. Isn't that interesting? Why? Well, the reason is because even the title in some, shall we say, Bible translations is God is our fortress. That's not really the word used. Let's begin with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So what Martin Luther did, he changed it to God is our fortress. Now, why would he do that? We need to know something about hymn singing at the time of the Reformation in the Roman Catholic Church and even in some Reformed churches. A lot of the leaders did not feel it appropriate to sing something that wasn't clearly in the Bible, such as from the Psalms. Martin Luther kind of updated the Psalms to speak about things that were in his day. So even though Psalm 46 begins, God is our refuge and strength, I'm sure Luther was thinking about, okay, what in my day is a real place of refuge, really has a lot of strength? And of course, a fortress would have that. I'm thinking if we were going to update the hymn for today, we could say, God is our army, or army base and strength. Because that's probably one of the safest places to be is on a armed forces base, especially if you have machinery, guns, planes, etc. So it's not that this is different than the Bible. It's just updated for his cultural situation. And this is what A Mighty Fortress is based on, Psalm 46. Now, in our hymnal, which is Lutheran service book, it also has other Bible passages, Revelation 19, Romans 8, Ephesians 6. In fact, I could put down probably 15 more passages of which A Mighty Fortress Is Our God speaks about. I've always enjoyed A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Occasionally you'll have a, shall we say, an opening devotion, and it's a short devotion. So they often say, we'll just sing the first verse of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And that ends on earth he has no equal. Now, I don't think that's a very good way to start a devotion, ending on earth he has no equal, because I'll often ask at a seminar, on earth he has no equal, who, of course, is that talking about? And almost everybody says it's talking about Jesus, but it's not. Listen to the last lines. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With graft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth, he has no equal. Now, another translation is, the old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. You see, it's talking about the devil. And if we're talking about on earth, it's talking about human beings who are sinful. There's no one equal to the devil. Now, of course, Jesus comes into the picture, who is a sinless human being. He's more than equal to the devil. He is superior to the devil. But it's kind of interesting. It sets up who our real foe is. On earth is not his equal, referring to the devil. Well, let's go on with Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's really pretty important, that he's a present help, which means he is always there to help us. We've been talking quite a bit recently about the distinction between a vertical relationship to Jesus Christ, which helps us to do proper fruit of the Holy Spirit in a horizontal relationship to our neighbor. But a lot of people don't have a vertical relationship to Jesus Christ. They're unbelievers. They only have a horizontal relationship. And what I've been talking about is that a lot of times we need to be remembering that whether or not you have a vertical or horizontal relationship, you still have troubles in the world. And the main trouble is everyone is really concerned about mortality. They're not going to be here very long. They're going to die. And so people try and compensate for that mortality danger. If you have a vertical relationship to God, Jesus compensates for that by dying on the cross, taking away the death that you would have had and deserved of. But if you have only a horizontal relationship with your neighbor, wow, how do you get around your fear of mortality? You try and get a good reputation for yourself. You try and get people who really like you. And therefore, you manipulate their feelings, because nothing is more important than your reputation. It's how many times have you challenged somebody and immediately they come back with some ridiculous notion why they did it? It's a self-defense mechanism, and it's built into every human being. We do not like to be accused. This is why it's difficult to be a Christian these days, because what you do to reach out to someone, you can't just give them the gospel. What? What do you mean you can't give them the gospel? Well, you can't look at them and say your sins are forgiven, because many people don't think they're that sinful. They live in a postmodern society where whatever they want to do, they're going to do. And nobody's going to tell me. You can have your feelings about what's right or wrong, and I have my feelings of what's right or wrong. And so what you have to do, you have to really meet them where they're having problems in life, and then show that the Christian message has a solution to that, that the horizontal relationship with others will never solve. So, for the Christian, we can believe that God is our fortress. He's the strongest item where we can find refuge and strength against the devil. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Well, how does Luther put that in? He does it really very well. In fact, it's one of the best parts of A Mighty Fortress, the part that I like a lot. Namely, of Sabaoth Lord Jesus Christ, there's none other God. The devil can scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. Wow, that's really important. Because verse 2 says, with might of ours can nothing be done. Soon were our loss effective. In other words, it kind of reminds me of the rich man. We gave a Bible study on that recently, where he really thinks he can affect his future by his riches. And what does Jesus say to the disciples when they say, who can be saved? Jesus says, with man it is impossible. And that's where Luther says, with might of ours can nothing be done. Wow. So what we have here is a beautiful picture of the strength of God. And even if the whole world was filled with devils, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. He can harm us none. He's judged. One of the most important parts, and I think this is how Luther updates the waters roaring and foaming, the mountains trembling, is verse 4. Take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. So I'm sure that when Luther was reading Psalm 46, he updated it to talk about the terrible times that they were living in. There was war between the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans and other Protestants. There was persecution. And so you were really taking your life in your hands. Verse 4 continues, Psalm 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, this is the city of God. What is the city of God? In the Bible, the term kingdom of God can refer to three different understandings. The one, of course, is the kingdom of God after judgment day. That would be heaven itself. But there is also the kingdom of God that Christians go to at the moment of their death. Their spirit goes to be with Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. And then, of course, you have the kingdom of God here on earth. That's the holy Christian church, the city of God. And it's the holy habitation of the Most High. Remember, the holy Christian church is made up of people. And at baptism, you receive not only the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the habitation of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in the midst of her. And that's why we will not be moved. and God will help us, it says, when morning dawns. In other words, every day, God is with you. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. That's also a portion where I've already said, though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. Well, we don't tremble, we fear no ill, because they shall not overpower us. And the reason they won't overpower us is because we are in Christ. I've talked about my understanding of the word blessing. A blessing is anytime God keeps his promise to you. Therefore, I can't think of any time in my life that I have not been blessed. Oh, yes, even when, from my point of view, bad things happen. Occasionally, I have gotten the speeding ticket. How is that a blessing? Well, I tell you, it teaches you to kind of slow down, etc. In fact, I'm driving really good these days because I drive for Uber and Lyft occasionally. And Uber and Lyft will get your records if you have an accident, if you go over the speed limit, if you go through red lights, if you don't stop at stop signs, etc. And there are people they will not allow to drive for Uber or Lyft if you have that kind of a bad driving. And so I'm driving good, not so much because I love Jesus, but because I don't want to be removed from Uber and Lyft. See, the old Adam always is moved by self-interest. Now, there's no doubt that I probably do some good driving because of my love for Jesus, but I can't tell the difference a lot of times. And so I'm driving along, and I'll tell you, when I'm on the highway, I was on one highway and I was going the speed limit. I wasn't passing anybody. Everybody was passing me. And the passenger said, you know, because she was under the impression that the longer I drive, the more it costs her, which isn't true, by the way, with Uber and Lyft. You have a set amount, and it doesn't matter if it takes 10 minutes to get there or an hour and 10 minutes, you pay the same amount on the basis of distance. And she says, why aren't you going faster? And I said, well, look it. And I showed her the speed limit sign. And I said, I don't want to go over the speed limit. Yeah, there are just some highways, especially in St. Louis. We call it 270. It travels around the whole city, even in Illinois. And I hardly ever pass anybody if I'm keeping the speed limit. Sometimes I'll pass a truck, you know, which is carrying or pulling a trailer with leaves on it or something like that, but it's kind of rare. All right. So, verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, that's the time that the word fortress does appear. And it's important to understand that even in Luther's day, a fortress was a mighty place. And he just sets the stage by beginning the hymn, actually, therefore, with verse 7. A mighty fortress is our God. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, we know that World War II is over. World War I is over. The Vietnam War is over. Things end. And from our point of view, it's because God ends them. The old evil foe, he means deadly woe, deep guile and great might. Those are his dread arms in fight. But the fact of the matter is, the word Jesus Christ will overcome that. Verse 8, come, Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. You see, desolations are part of the law of God to wake people up to the fact that he is merciful and gracious. A person will not accept the gospel that he's a forgiven sinner if he doesn't think he's a sinner. And so the law always must precede the gospel for somebody to realize that he is truly in need of a Savior. And therefore, that's why at times people are really angry with us, because we're accusing them of sin that they don't think they're doing. So Psalm 46 gives us our attitude we are to have when we are persecuted. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, that's not referring to you and me. It's referring to God, who will be exalted among the nations, will be exalted on the earth. In fact, remember the distinction of Jesus between his humiliation and his exaltation. In fact, I was doing a Bible study for adult instruction yesterday, and I was making the point the Apostles' Creed, think of steps going down and steps going up. Steps going down are his humiliation, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Then I asked the question, what's a descent into hell? Is it a step going down or step going up? Well, it sounds like it's a step going down. And if it was referring to the cross where Jesus experienced hell, that would be correct. But it's not. It's referring to 1 Peter 3, where he descends into hell after his resurrection to proclaim victory. So it's part of his exaltation. And that's what happens. Jesus is exalted even here on the earth. Read Revelation chapter 5 and listen to the praise to Jesus for being our Redeemer, which is the same praise in the previous chapter 4 of Revelation to God the Father for being our Creator. There's no distinction. Both are God. Finally, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So here we again have that word fortress. Very important to understand that that's kind of really where the strength and the refuge that people could flee to. The Lord of hosts, what does that mean? The word hosts is considered to be all of his angels. He has power over them, and remember they have six wings, two to cover their eyes, two to cover their feet, and two to fly with. They only go where God tells them to go. And yet, he's not just Lord of hosts, he's also the God of Jacob. Why is Jacob important? Because that's where Jesus came from. We, who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, are also considered to be the true Israel. We are the true Israel simply because at the time that this psalm was written, it was through Jacob that the Messiah would be coming. And just read Romans 9 to 11. There's two Israels. There's one of the flesh who think they're saved because they're somehow related to Abraham, but then there's the one of the promise. And they're saved because they trust the promises in consideration of Jesus Christ, the promises of his crucifixion, the promises of his resurrection. So there's no doubt that when Luther writes, a mighty fortress is our God, he takes the theme right out of Psalm 46. It's part of the reason why we won't be looking at A Mighty Fortress Is Our God tomorrow with Mark Smith. I think we've gone over it about six times in past years. We're going to be looking at another Reformation hymn selected for the Reformation. Tune in tomorrow to find out which one that is. Until then, I'm Tom Baker, looking forward to having you listen to us tomorrow. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.